In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. I am so excited about today's show. We have the legendary disc jockey and television star and film star, Shadow Stevens, on the show. And he's got a voice that billions of people know and have heard and love. And it's so exciting to have him here and actually be talking with him on radio. And I can't wait to bring him on. But before we do, interesting story. As I was doing some final research about Shadow before bringing him on today, I was also on Facebook, and I saw that people were talking about the show tonight, and I started to realize, or it started to dawn on me, how popular he is and how many people know him. And I thought, wow, people, you know, obviously love him, and there's some excitement in the air. And am I actually excited? Am I actually maybe even nervous? And so I wrote that up on Facebook, and within seconds, I started to get responses like, oh, Filippo, you know, nervous is a good response. And I thought, great, thank you for that. I'll be nervous. But more than nervous, I'm excited. But it's interesting because one of our producers, Mark Legere, is not here, and he's another one of these people with this great low voice, and so Shadow hadn't gotten here yet, and so I get on the phone to call our producer Mark and say, hey, Shadow's not here yet, and wanted to ask you about this, and this, because I had a couple more questions that I wanted to make sure that we covered during the show, and who I thought was Mark answered the phone, but I had actually dialed Shadow's number instead of Mark's number, and I was actually talking to Shadow himself, and I said to him, Shadow's not here yet, and I have a couple questions, and he said, it's me, and I'm like, I know it's you, do you have a minute? He says, yes. Okay, well, Shadow's not here yet. He says, it's me, Filippo, it's me. And he was trying to tell me, I'm Shadow, you are talking to Shadow. And I was. And we're going to be in just a few minutes. And we had a great lunch a couple weeks ago, and we covered so many great things, and it was he, Mark, and I, and that's why I was trying to get Mark to remind me of some of the juicy stuff that we talked about. And instead, I had him on the phone and didn't even know it. And isn't that actually, ironically, the case with so many things? It didn't dawn on me until just now that is such the case, that sometimes we are looking for the answers in other people, and the answers may be staring us right in the face, and they're saying, it's me, it's here, you're actually talking to the guy, you're actually got the answers right in front of you. And it literally took me a second to understand what he was trying to say, and he was pretty funny about it. It's like, it's me, Filippo, it's me. And so how often does that happen? And that's interesting because it ties into what I was going to say that I had planned to say, actually, was that a while back, when I had first left IBM, I was really great at IBM at saving my money and investing well and bought houses and all that stuff. And I had amassed a really nice nest egg for myself. And probably because I knew that someday I would leave IBM and follow my heart, and that I needed something to get me going. And that wasn't really conscious, because on the other side of me, I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to be doing this the rest of my life and all of that. And I was just saving my money. And it wasn't really just saving my money. I mean, I bought a house, then I bought another house, and had a nice car, and I had artwork. It wasn't like I was just saving my money. I was spending it too, but I was making good money, saving good money. But the point is that I had this nest egg. And then when I finally left to follow my heart and pursue singing and eventually things like this show, I had this money. And it's interesting that at one point, on any given day, I would wake up and I would think, wow, I have so much money. I could probably live off of this for years and do nothing, or just study what I want to study, or just play, or just grow doing something, or just spend time with my friends or travel. And it was so exciting to feel like, boy, I'm rich. I've got all this money. It's an exciting life that I have made for myself. I could pursue my dreams, or I could wait and then just kind of experience, but I've got all this money. And then the very next day, or it could be a couple hours later, or a week later, it didn't matter, I would catch myself and I would say, oh my God, all I have is this money, and I don't have a job, and my career isn't lined up yet, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and this is so scary, and all I've got is this money. I'm going to be poor. I'm poor as it is because this money is going to be spent. And what was the difference between one day to the next, or 1 hour to the next? And it wasn't all the things that sometimes we like to blame, like, oh, our parents, or my religion, or the government, or the economy, or it wasn't even like I even had a store where today nobody bought anything, so I feel like, oh, geez, if it keeps going this way, it's going to be bad, and I'm not going to be able to survive. No, there was no difference from the 1 hour before where I was thinking I was rich and I had plenty of money to an hour later that I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? It was the same amount of money. I was the same person, and I was the one that was vacillating from one to the other. It wasn't a friend that was dictating or being worried for me. It wasn't the economy. It wasn't the government. It wasn't religion. It was me. It was me all along. And I wondered about that at the time, thinking, wait a minute, it's me. And now I think, as I'm making this analogy, where else do I do that? Where else do I say, oh, I'm loved, I'm liked, or I'm talented, or I've got such a promising future, and then the next hour say, what am I going to do the rest of my life? I'm alone, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll eat some worms, whatever that song was when we were kids. I'm not talented, or someone's more talented. It's always me. And it's interesting that this thing happened with Shadow, because it's almost like, you know, he's shaking me up saying, Filippo, it's me, I'm here. And in the same way, in the analogy works, is it's like, Filippo, it's you. You're the one that's deciding whether you're going to be happy right now or not, whether you're deciding whether you're going to feel like you are making money right now, or not, whether you have a promising future or not. It's always me. And there could be things happening in the economy, and religion could dictate this, or government can dictate that, or our friends and family could say one thing or the other, but it's still me. It starts with me. It starts with us, each one of us. And so I thought that would be a perfect way to start, because it was something that I was thinking about this week especially. And how perfect, because Shadow tells these amazing stories of how he has kept himself up throughout his life, always saying, never give up, stay present, and really recognize that we are the power within ourselves. And so with that, let me tell you a little bit about our very illustrious, legendary guest. Shadow is one of the most recognized voices in the world. Yes, but that's just the beginning. For decades, Shadow has been an innovator and a star of radio, television, film, the visual arts, the internet, and now even books. You probably know him from American Top 40. the weekly American Top 40, but also from the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, where actually he just came from doing the voiceover, and we're grateful for him for taking the time to be here with us tonight. Dave's World, Hollywood Squares, and now his children's book, Cobble Wobble Radio, Top of the World Commercials or Artwork. I mean, his career just has grown and has encompassed so many art forms. It's quite amazing. And so tonight we're going to be exploring a little bit Shadow Stevens' world. Let me tell you a little bit more. He's appeared in the movies Trax, Mr. Saturday Night, the Kentucky Fried Movie, and the much revered Bucket of Blood for Roger Corman.
Much praised. There's so many people who are just grovel at the feet of Bucket of Blood.
It's so like you to just jump in. I love it. But let me say one more thing about you, the Hollywood Squares. Yeah. I mean, that was huge for the longest time. It was one of the top five syndicated shows, and you were a regular, and you were a household name. You still are, actually. We've gotten so many hits. Actually, our engineer just said, "Are you taking callers?" And we'd love to, but it's only an hour show, and we don't have very much time with you. But should I mention all the other shows, or do you just want to jump in?
No, I think you should just jump in. I just get a big head.
I think that's impossible, actually. You know, it's we sat and had lunch, and you said so many things, and that's why I called you earlier, because I wanted to remember some of the juiciness of some of the inspiring things that you said. You've had this amazing life, and yet you always feel like you are growing or wanting to grow, wanting to do better. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Which part?
The growing and the wanting to grow, wanting to do better. What's up with that?
Well, you know, stagnation is death, and you know, we're all in motion, and you know, to be reaching for a higher consciousness, more awareness, greater truth, greater ability to be conscious is the only thing that makes any sense. You know, the only important thing I've ever discovered in my life is meditation, and it's the only thing that has revealed anything beyond what this world of changes is all about. And so the effort is to stay conscious and stay positive, because my brain is always trying to kill me. It's always going, yeah, but what if? It's, yeah, things are going well now. Yeah, but how long is that going to last? Yeah, let's take a look at your past. Let's take a look at the list of failures. So let's make a list. There was this, and there was that, and pretty soon I've got a whole story that I'm buying into and kind of can't get my way out of, and it diminishes me, and it makes me crippled with doubt and small and afraid, and now pretty soon I have no energy, and I have no willingness to try anything. I want to stay in bed, and I pretty much I'm assured of the fact that I won't succeed because I have nothing to succeed with. So, you know, I am pivoting. I'm watching my thoughts moment to moment and acting my way into the right thinking and looking for what's right and what else can I do? It's all what else can I do? So for me, creativity is a key to happiness and you know, greater possibilities.
You know, that's interesting. I know you were in the other room talking to our producer, Dorothy Lee, so you didn't hear what I was saying at the beginning. And ironically, I was talking about that pivoting. Good word, actually. Talking about how from one moment we can think we're successful, the next moment we think we're not. One moment we think we have a great career, and the next one we think we don't. And there are millions of people out there, and myself included, as I was going through the list of your successes, I've been thinking only of your successes. How could you think of your failures?
Well, you know, I've had 100 failures to every success. You know, there's a list of successes. And you know, like everything in life, they come and they flourish and they blossom for a moment and then change. Inexplicably change. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a long-running career doing the same thing over and over again for 30 years. I have had to reinvent myself probably at least a half dozen, if not a dozen times. shift and change, learn new techniques, learn new disciplines, try to create something new out of nothing, and each time something new came about, but it's part of the process. And what I realized is that what happens when I have the willingness to apply myself to try, that I am in the process, and then I lose myself in the process. And when I lose myself in the process, I find a certain enjoyment. Hmm. And then I've created something that has a tangibility, it's tangible. And in having that tangible something, I find that it reveals some potential. And when I have potential, I get a sense of enthusiasm. And when I get enthusiasm, I get more energy to keep going and expand it. And in that energy, I find hope. And when I've got hope, I have the ability to change and to grow and to make something new that never existed before, and just to do the best that I can until I finish that particular project or that, you know, ideal, that thing that I'm working toward, and then I get on to the next one. Or sometimes I work on three or four at the same time.
Well, you know, this is interesting because creating something out of nothing and then finding that place where you're creating something new and having the success with it, I was thinking as KROQ, which is now world famous, and I would say because of you. And you took KROQ and started a new format, and then you brought your personality to it and created an attitude, and it became the top radio station within 6 months because of what you did with it. And then, you know, American Top 40 existed with Casey Kasem, but then they brought you on, and for 6 years it was heard, record-breaking numbers, over 120 countries and over 100 billion listeners.
Not 100 billion, just a billion.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Let's not get carried away here.
God. I'm talking about galaxies and universe.
Yeah, and even today, those frequencies are vibrating over the moons of Uranus, and Uranians are going, God, that's good.
So there you go. Thanks for catching that, by the way. You got all these people listening to you because of something you've created that has not existed before or not in that format. And how can you say, first of all, how do you do that? Is it from that process you spoke about?
The process is the same for everything that I do. And I teach this. I've done classes at Santa Monica College. I did the keynote address at Beverly Hills High School for Career Day, and I teach the same thing. And the two real secrets are brainstorming and note taking. And what brainstorming is you have a project, you have something you have to complete, you have a problem, you have something that has to be addressed. And that could be, I've decided to write a screenplay, I've decided to write a book, I've decided that I have to solve the problem of my work environment or what I'm going to do with my life. Whatever it is, whatever the issue is, it involves the same thing. And what it is sitting and writing down everything that comes to your mind without any regard to whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. Mm. You don't get critical, you don't edit. You go, here's an idea, write it down. There's an idea. And what it does is it opens up rivers of thought that transcend the thinking process and come from, I don't know, the spirit world. Stuff comes out, and you write, and you write, and you write. And pretty soon, these pieces are jigsaw puzzles. And the ideas, some of them are just terrible. And some of the ideas are good, and then the ideas start talking to other ideas, and you start putting ideas together like puzzle pieces, and pretty soon you're coming up with some potential solutions to whatever it is you're trying to do. There's a great story of a father, a guy who had, and this is like in the last couple of years, in the Midwest, Kansas or Nebraska, in this little town, this guy was a barber. And he, for his whole life, he was a great barber, and people all over town came to him, and he raised his family being a barber, and he was the place people went to get haircuts. And his son was raised and went off to college back east, And he and into town came a big corporation, and they advertised $5 haircuts. Incredible. So everybody started going to the $5 haircut people, and his business got smaller and smaller, and he got more and more afraid. And he, when his son came to visit during the holidays, he said, "Well, I may have to declare bankruptcy. I don't have a solution. There's no way out. I don't know what to do." And his son said, "Why don't we do this technique called brainstorming?" He goes, "Well, what do we do?" "Well, we sit down and we will write down every single idea that we can think of, and until we can't think of anything else." So they did that, and they sat there for a couple of hours, and they wrote down pages and pages of ideas. And at the when they finished, they took a look at their ideas, and all of them were terrible. It's terrible ideas, except one. And they said, "Well, let's give it a try." So they integrated this one idea, and it not only brought his business back, but it increased his business another 20%. And the idea was putting up a sign in the window that said, "We fix $5 haircuts." That's a great story, but that's all true.
That's
the way it works. And the process is the same whether I'm doing Federated commercials 25 years ago on television. The process was the same. On Monday morning, we would brainstorm, and it would be me and the six guys I worked with. And you would throw out an idea, and somebody would throw it, and somebody would bounce off that idea and take an idea, and somebody would be writing down all the ideas. And at the end of the session, we would decide on which were the best ideas. And by that afternoon, those ideas were being written. And by Tuesday, they were set up for a shoot on Wednesday, and they'd be edited on Thursday, and we'd turn them in on Friday and start again the next Monday. And we did 6 or 7 commercials, television commercials, a week for 6 years. We did 1,100 different commercials, and that was the process. I used that process for writing scripts, for children's books. I write down words that I like, just words. I don't know where they're going to go. I like this word. I'll write that down. I like that word. I look in the thesaurus. I find other words I like, and I find a whole bunch of words, and then the words start talking to each other. I go, oh, these go together on that, and then all of a sudden ideas are revealed, and it's about being immersed in the process.
I'll have to add, in regard to the commercials, you also got a Clio Award, or a couple of them, I think, and then the Big Apple Award, and several other awards as well for those commercials that come out of this process that you're sharing. So we said, how does that happen? And now we see how that happens. And how do you not, of course, you don't want to sit on your laurels and say, "Okay, I've done it." And definitely you don't want to be done, because obviously till this day you show and prove that you are contributing so much to the entertainment field and the world through art and the books that we'll talk about in a moment. But how can you not say, "I've done something great," or I you are proud, though, aren't you?
Of the things that work, yeah.
Oh, my. Okay.
And there are some things that were ill-conceived. But most of the things, you know, I look at the things, that most of the things I've really tried hard for, and I wouldn't change any of them. I would have changed the outcome that, you know, might they have been more successful? Yeah, in my perfect universe, they would have seen the light of day on a much larger scale and gone on to be what they deserve to be in my mind. But you can't just give up. You know, you can't stop. You can't just go, "Oh, well, I tried." Oh, and then you know, be a victim. You know, that's not an option.
You know, this is so great, and I appreciate your candor. You know, people, not only did they hear that voice on radio, but then they'd see you on television and or commercials, whatever, and there were these rugged good looks in your eyes and your hair, and you just seemed to the world like you had it in every aspect. And so you're saying that it didn't exist in every aspect, and also that there is living that you had to do even with all of that.
There's constant chatter from the critic within, sitting in the balcony, ready to diminish everything, whatever it is, looks, voice, career, success, failure, it will expand the failures dramatically and minimize any success, because after all, it's all temporary. And what does it all really mean anyway? And what good does it do, because you just die in the end? So why try at all? It's, you know, like, it's the beast. And it's doubt, and doubt is the enemy. So we have no choice but to try.
So you look at this, and you've got the doubt, and then you've got the successes, and you still say, okay, well, I've got to keep going. And what you're doing now is inspiring people through your art, inspiring people through your books. These are children books that you're writing, right? And there's a message. You said to me that everything that you're doing these days is about bringing high-mindedness to everything you're doing. So here we are on radio, and where 100 billion people have gone to hear you over all this time, and I'm joking, but over a billion.
And, at least 100 billion.
People.
I think you're being minimal. Yes.
People still are listening to you all over the place, and the thing is that, have they really heard your message, and what would that message be that's coming out in everything you're doing now?
I'm not responsible for whether they hear the message, and I assume that most people won't. I can talk about meditation being the only important thing I've discovered in my life, and I can tell you how to begin, and I can tell you how incredible it is to experience pure awareness without body consciousness, and you won't do it anyway. You'll minimize it, you'll go, I feel silly, you'll go, this isn't for me, because the mind is, oh, it's monkey mind, you know, it's always chattering, it's going, oh yeah, well, this is really silly, well, I feel stupid, well, this isn't working, you know, I've got things I've really got to do, and I've got to get out, and I've got some, and I'm really feeling a little bit hungry, and I itch over here, and it's like,
and is it easy for him to say, because he's Mr. Hollywood and they have time for stuff like that, and he's got the money to do,
you know,
that?
Everybody has time. You know, you need 5 minutes a day to start, you know, and that 5 minutes, because once you experience it, will lead to 10 minutes, will lead to a half hour, will lead to an hour, will lead to several times a day, because it reveals itself through the effort, and there's no other way to do it. There's only trying. And when you try and experience it, you'll get it, and you'll go, ah, oh, this, oh, okay, that's what they were talking about.
Now, this is not a fad for you, obviously, because you're so passionate about it, and it's not something you've been doing for a couple days or a couple years. You've been doing this how long?
Meditating?
Mm-hmm.
35 years, maybe.
Wow.
Really seriously for 25. But I started very young, and learned my first types of meditation when in my early 20s, and first did yoga in my early 20s, and it's just expanded, because as you want to know more and you want to experience more, you reach, you know, you ask, you read, you know ask questions.
Mm.
And then you find, you know, you follow your bliss. What is it that makes me feel good? What is it that seems right? And, you know, you follow the religious or spiritual direction that feels right in your heart. And I don't think it's important which one you choose. I think it's a matter of choosing what feels right and, you know, reaching for it.
You know, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but it does come to mind, especially getting how deep you are, and hopefully we'll get in a little bit more into that, because it fascinates me. But, you know, growing up and watching some of the characters that you played and all that, that weren't deep, and some of the songs that you hosted on the show obviously aren't deep, and if anything, they're counterproductive. Maybe they're not. Maybe I'm making a judgment. But how do you justify that, doing something that is not you, or is that you too?
I think you just need to bring as much of your personal vibration and energy to what you do as you can. And, you know, it isn't always possible to be communicating you know, learning specific spiritual growth, ideas for expanding consciousness. But you can have it in yourself, and that becomes part of your personal frequency, your personal vibration. And, you know, there are certain things you do that, I did American Top 40. It wasn't even the kind of music that I personally, you know, listened to in my life. But I was proud of it. I enjoyed doing it. It was working with nice people, and, you know, it did some really nice things, and it meant a lot to a lot of people in a lot of countries. I mean, I still get letters from people all over the world that talk about how great that moment was. And I don't know what that is. You know, it's just doing your best with whatever it is you do. But for my personal projects and things that I have control of, I try to reach for at least symbolism or allegory in stories, and where the story is like one level, but there's symbolic meaning behind each of the things beneath the surface. And so it gives depth and as much of the hero's journey as possible, because that's what we're all in. You know, we have to face difficulties and challenges and problems and pain in our lives, and we have to find a way to rise above them, get through them, and keep moving, knowing that everything changes and there is no reason not to have hope.
You know, you mentioned how you like to bring across enlightenment through humor, and you're very humorous. Where are you using your humor these days, other than personally?
Well, I believe that a sense of humor is the only sense that makes any sense, and the only sense that makes the other senses worthwhile. So that being said,
I'm going to have to listen to that again and again.
I'm hoping to die laughing. In the meantime, I'm going to stay busy. I put a lot of my humor on my website, although I haven't updated it much lately because I've been so busy with other things. I have a bunch of projects. I've written a number of pilots and treatments for sitcoms that I think are pretty funny. But my biggest project is one that has ended up in a partnership with Tony Hawk. And, you know, Tony is like the legendary worldwide skateboard leader. His video games have sold $1.1 billion in sales in the last 10 years. So he's like the guy. And we're in partnership on a project I created. It's a movie, multimedia, new media project that has graphic novel and games and merchandise overtones. But the movie part of it is really something. And I just last week completed the treatment that was given to Stan Lee. It looks like Stan Lee could be our another partner.
Well.
And for those of you that don't remember, Stan Lee created Spider-Man and X-Men and Iron Man and every great superhero. He was the editor-in-chief of Marvel and like the leader of the company and brought all that stuff to life. So he's like godlike in the superhero community, and he loves this project. And the project is the same thing. It's very crazy. It's very funny. It's a great adventure, but it's an allegory, and it has those that symbolism beneath the surface and the elements of consciousness and being alive and possibilities.
So even in your children's book, like the one that I'm aware of that is out there making getting some attention is The Big Galoot. Now, this is not what one would consider a hero, because the child is awkward in so many ways. But in the end, things are different.
Well, again, the Big Galoot is the story is. It takes place in Middleburg School, where all the kids get along. They have the same smile and the same shined shoes. Everything is happy in Middleburg until the Big Galoot comes to town. And everything is wrong with the Big Galoot. He has a head that is pointed, and a neck that is too skinny and a squeaky voice and a pear-shaped body and pigeon-toed feet and size 42 hands, the biggest hands anybody's ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. And then the laughter turns to mocking him and saying, you know, tripping him and making him eat a bug. But the big galoot says, well, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up.
Mm.
And he never does. And in the end, everything that could go wrong goes wrong. They go on a field trip to the mountains, and a storm breaks out, and the kids are running for their lives, terrified. And the big galoot keeps stepping up and tries to save the day and never does. But because he keeps trying, the day is saved. And in the end, the kids want to be like him.
Mm.
So they wear big gloves, so they'll have big hands. You know? They wear hats, so they have the same shaped head. And
Wow. And
it's, you know, and it's really a metaphor. The big galoot is the clumsy oaf within all of us.
Mm.
The guy who, you know, it criticizes your hair or your face or your body or your skin or whatever it is. It's always the critic, and it's always, you know, but what's right about the big galoot is his smile. His smile and his heart. And he believes that he has good luck. And when he needs good luck, it just comes to him.
Mm.
And it comes to all of us. And it comes from someplace else.
That's interesting, actually. I wish you all could see what happened here as Shadow started to go into the story. I'm sure you're aware of this, but your body changed a little bit, and your focus changed, and your voice changed a little bit, and it reminded me that I don't think it's just your voice. I obviously you have one of the world's most incredible voices, and it's beautiful and it's rich and it's melodic and people want to listen to it and it resonates. It's everything and more that I just said. But there's something else coming through. So even if it's just the weekly top 40, let's say, and music that might not have meant to you as much as other music, there was something else that was coming through the voice. Do you agree with that, and do you have a word for what that is?
Well, I think that it has to be, you know, some kind of spirit. It's consciousness, because I haven't changed. My goal has always been to be in touch with that which isn't the body, and to attempt to embrace awareness every day. And whatever that energy is that comes through is a result of that effort, that ongoing effort to touch the spirit within.
Hmm.
And, you know, and you know, my goal has always been to empower, embrace, bring enthusiasm and inspiration, because that's all I ever wanted. I just want to be enthusiastic and inspired all the time. Is that too much to ask?
You know, I get the feeling that you could say, all right, I'm not going to say anything now of any importance, and just blah, blah, blah. And people would still feel that.
Huh. No, you may be reaching.
I'm actually not. And it's interesting, because it reminds me of when I used to work for IBM, actually, and we talked about that a little bit earlier. And I came in early at the office, and I was working it's on something that was important, and I wasn't paying attention to anything else, and nobody was in the office, and evidently the secretary passed by and said hello to me, and I didn't hear her. Then she passed by again and said hello, and I didn't hear her. So she came up to me and said,
"You dick." No? Am I wrong?
See, I'm not offended. And I laugh. And that's actually the point of the story, that she came up, and her name was Claire, and she said, "Filippo, am I invisible or something? I said hello twice." And I looked up at her, and with a straight face, I looked up and I said, "Oh, hello, Claire. No, you're not invisible. You're just insignificant." And I went back to work.
Now, she thought that was the funniest thing and started laughing and laughed. And before long, everybody in the office knew that I had called her insignificant. Sure. And they kept telling me how wonderful and funny that was and you're too much and all that stuff. The way I said it, I could have been serious. But that's not what she got from
The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not reaching. You just call me a dick. And
well, only because you ignored her, clearly. Because you're so consumed in your own little world. No, that's what I would get, you know, somebody, because I'm the same way. I am in my own world. I'm thinking about some project or something, or coming up with a solution to something I'm working on, and I'm oblivious. You know, I'm driving down the street, people drive by and wave or honk the horn, and I don't hear it, I don't see it. I'm in my own little universe.
You're meditating.
You know, I guess, or something, you know, or just I'm a dick.
I'm not going to say it. But, okay, so as we're bringing this to a close, you know, I've been trying to pull it out of you in a lot of ways, and you did say, you know, I could say something, but people aren't going to listen. And, like, I could say meditation is the most important thing, and people aren't necessarily going to do it. But a lot of people have heard you, but they may or may not have heard what you're trying to say. But now, at this stage of your life, what is it that you would say, whether people are in this business or any other business, whether people are just trying to live their lives, what would you say from all the experience that you have gained, that besides meditation, what is the consciousness that we most need to be aware of right now, in your opinion?
You're thinking. Every thought. Every single thought. And I really, like I've read in some very interesting books, I think that you can feel through your emotions when you're out of touch with who you are, with your spirit, with what's right. And I really think that it's our job to be happy, and that you have to work for happiness. It's a discipline. It has to be nurtured. You have to see that first negative thought and feel that tension that's right there at the perimeter of your awareness and go, no, not going to pay attention to that, because the moment I put my attention on that, it blossoms and it turns into 10 things I have to be worried about or afraid about. And pretty soon, I'm crippled with doubt and I'm unable to move forward, so I will not achieve anything. So if I can go, what can I do? What else can I do? Who can I call? Who can I be in touch with? What else can I create? What can I do with my time and get into it? Act your way into the right thinking. And it's the action that makes the changes and not the thinking. You have to really be aware of that, breath by breath, moment by moment, day after day. It's a job. And it's not always easy. You know, every once in a while you'll be washed over by that warm wave of hippopotamus pus. And there it goes. I am so full of tension all of a sudden. And you go, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know how to get rid of this. It lives inside you. It's like it's alive. And it's through action that changes. And it's meditation, exercise. It's taking action, talking to people, you know, meditating.
You know, I'm not a big fan of asking celebrities just because they've become famous or because they've done a film or something, what is your view on life? Because they're just doing that one thing. But knowing what I know about your life and some of the hardships and some of the successes and all that you've been through, I know that. Can you share with the audience, as we come to a close here, what makes you the expert that you are? Someone that knows that this is an answer that should be heard.
I've concluded for myself that to do anything else is to suffer, and I don't want to suffer. I've had enough suffering. If I can avoid suffering, I will go to any lengths. If that means getting up at 5:30 in the morning, which I do, and get up and meditate first thing for a half hour to an hour, I do it. I do yoga 4 to 5 times a week for an hour and a half at a time. Why? Because if I don't, my body will start hurting and I'll start feeling bad about myself and I won't like the way I feel or look when I look in the mirror, I don't want to suffer. So what do I have to do with my mind? I have to keep it busy with positive thoughts, looking for what's right. And I get on my bed, the first moment of consciousness when I wake up in the morning, I get into the child's pose, in bed, on my knees, arms out in front of me, and say, God, 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 God. Because I can't think of anything else. I'm just awakening. So I just repeat that word over, and then finally it's, thank you, God, thank you, thank you. And then I start thinking about what I'm thankful for. I'm healthy. I am not in pain. That's really huge. That's a big deal that everybody takes for granted. And it's so easy to dismiss this kind of thing, but when you lose it, you go, life is hell. Life is hell. So today I'm standing. I'm not in pain. It's a good day.
Mm. You're saying so much. Gratitude, meditation, going within, stopping the chatter. I mean, listen to you.
I don't want to suffer.
I don't want to suffer. Well, we have not been suffering, so much so, if it's truth in what they say, is when you're having fun, time goes by quickly. This 45 minutes or so together has gone by way too quickly, and it has been so much of a pleasure. We get to hear you nowadays, of course, on commercials and all kinds of things, but mainly on the Late Late Show with
Greg Ferguson. Smartest man on television. He really is. He's really gifted.
He's
really smart and really funny and a joy to work with.
I enjoy him a lot.
And he's a good man.
So anything right now that we could look forward to, like in the very near future, because I know you got a lot of projects, but something that you've said, you know, you can say.
Well, you know, I just don't know how long it's going to take for any of these things to happen. I'm also negotiating with some people about a potential Los Angeles radio station that I could take over. It could happen in a month or 3 months or not at all. I don't know. There are things that are just out of my control, so I do what I can to nurture it and see if it's supposed to happen and then focus on something else. Well, what else can I do? What else can I do?
Whatever it is, we look forward to it. You have been such a pleasure, and it's always great listening to you, period. But being in your presence and getting not just the voice, but the whole you is quite magnificent. So thank you for sharing that with me, with our producers and our radio audience, and being such a...
It is my pleasure. I'm telling you.
I didn't know you did that kind of thing too.
No,
you do.
Barely. I do a great mock Norwegian.
You do?
Oh yeah, and I can teach you how to do it.
So okay.
it goes like you add an in or a sk at the end of every word. So you go, I'm going to walk across the floor to the door. I'm going to walk in across the floors to the door. Sk. And you just put a little bit of lilt in it. So I'm sitting here with you talking about the big stuff. I don't know. and lilt.
For a moment there, I thought we were going into the Italian. I'm going to do what these
say. Yeah, well, you know, I lose it. I'm not really good at any of these things. So, you know, that kind of cross-pollination of, you know, different dialects is... very possible with me.
You're so funny. This is the legendary Shadow Steven, disc jockey, TV, film, voiceover commercials. None other than Shadow Stevens has been with us tonight on Life Changes, and it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here.
I'm actually going to walk out with you and give the microphone over to Dorothy Lee with the State of the Universe address.
Ooh, the so universe.
Take it away, Dorothy.
Damn.
Give her a moment.
Thank you, Shadow, for being here. That was wonderful. Wonderful. Tonight, I'm going to address assumptions. I've often mentioned Don Miguel Ruiz's amazing book, The Four Agreements. It's on my highly recommended book list, and the Four Agreements are incorporated into my daily invocation. Tonight, I will address the third of the Four Agreements. Don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. I totally agree with Mr. Ruiz because I know many people who believe they know me well and therefore they believe they know what I'm thinking. Some of them do, but most are way off the mark. However, because I also learned from Don Miguel to never take anything personally, it doesn't bother me when they make assumptions. I just try to be clearer and more effective in my communications with them. The following are a couple of funny examples from Steve Goodyear in a piece he wrote titled Deadly Assumptions. Joan, the town gossip and supervisor of the town's morals, recently accused George, a local man, of having a drinking problem because she observed his pickup truck outside the town's only bar one morning. George stared at her for a moment and said nothing. Later that evening, he parked his pickup truck in front of her house. Funny to us, but not to Joan. Why is it that most assumptions are wrong? Yet, like Joan, we too often act as if they are right. This is a really good question, and I ask that each of you think about it. But first, I want to share another of Steve's stories about someone who made a fool of himself by assuming something which was entirely false. Years ago, a young American at a banquet found himself seated next to the eminent Wellington Ku, a Chinese diplomat, completely at a loss as to what to say to someone from such a different culture. This young man ventured, "Likey soupy?" Mr. Ku smiled and nodded. Later, when called to speak, Wellington Ku delivered an eloquent talk in exquisite English, and he sat down while the applause was still resounding, turned to the young man and smiled, "Likey speechy?" Funny to us, but not to this young man. His assumption about Mr. Ku was simply not true, which is not unlike a husband who assumes he knows his wife's opinion on a matter, only to find out she thinks differently, or a mother who assumes that her son's silence means he's angry or disinterested, only to learn that he's worried about something else, or an employee who assumes he knows that his boss is upset with him because she didn't praise his performance on a project when she was merely preoccupied with another matter. Assumptions. We all make them. They're usually wrong, and they too often get us into trouble. We have all heard this said, never assume anything. And the word is broken down this way. It makes an ass out of you and me. However, I prefer this quote, things are better said than assumed. Assumptions too often cause us much unnecessary self-inflicted pain and suffering. I believe that we need to be most careful about making assumptions when we are talking to our loved ones. Way too much misery is created when we don't ask questions and just assume that what our loved ones are saying is absolute truth. This is demonstrated in Robert De Niro's latest movie, which is in the theaters now, Everybody's Fine. The movie follows a widower who embarks on an impromptu road trip to reconnect with each of his grown children after they've all given him their excuses for not being able to come home for Christmas. De Niro discovers on his journey that his children's lives are far from the picture-perfect lives he had assumed and believed they led. My very favorite movie about the destruction that assumptions can and do cause in our lives is the 1996 movie titled Secrets and Lies. If you haven't seen it, please do. It can change the way you interact with your family and loved ones. The film tells the story of Hortense, a successful black optometrist who is adopted. After the death of her adoptive mother, she chooses to trace her family history and discovers that her birth mother, Cynthia Pearlie, is a working-class white woman. She meets her and later meets Cynthia's brother, Maurice, a successful photographer, and his wife, Monica, and Cynthia's sullen, sweet street sweeper daughter, Roxanne. Cynthia hasn't been invited to her brother's new home for the entire year since he moved into it. Therefore, she feels rather lonely and isolated and makes some interesting assumptions as to why she's not welcome in her brother's home. The truth is revealed when they all get together and it brings everyone closer. This movie will make you laugh as well as cry. But more importantly, it makes you want to know more about those you love and what motivates their behaviors. For more years than I care to admit to, I made many assumptions about my family members. For example, when my older brother put his 6-foot boa constrictor into bed with me after I'd had back surgery and couldn't move, I thought it was because he hated me. However, when I finally asked him why, 40 years later, his answer surprised me. He said that the snake was his best friend, and he just wanted to share him with me. So please be careful and do your best to not make assumptions when you're with your families over the holidays. When in doubt, check it out. You think you know what was said? Check it out. You think you know what was meant? Check it out. You may think you know, but please check it out. And when you do, be prepared to be surprised. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been looking for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love. You are lovable and you are loved.
Wow, thank you, Dorothy, for rounding out this amazing show, a very exciting show for me personally, being on radio and having none other than legendary Shadow Stevens with us today. So I'm very grateful to Shadow for being with us, having been with us, and he's actually in the other room, and I can't wait to go in there. He's about to show me one of his latest projects that he's working on, and I can't wait to go back in there. But in the meantime, I also can't wait till next week because we got Mike Robbins on, who wrote this book, Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Transform your life with the power of authenticity. So technically, that's what we talked about all today as well. And Shadow was definitely himself. And Mike Robbins, who's also the author of Focus on the Good Stuff, it will help us break through and be ourselves more and more. In any event, remember, let's keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website at lifechanges.ws and connect with us on Facebook, as many of you already have. And it was great to have your encouragement before the show today. Today's show has been made possible in part by IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. And to learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with our producers, Dorothy Lee and Mark Leger, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.